This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and we're going to start with news of a significant development in transplant medicine. A team of physicians at Mass General Hospital have performed the first penis transplant in the U.S. The patient, Thomas Manning, is a 64-year-old bank courier from Halifax, Massachusetts. The experimental surgery used an organ from a deceased donor, and it lasted 15 hours. Urologic oncologist Dr. Adam Feldman, one of the doctors at MGH this morning, has been treating Manning since his penile cancer diagnosis in 2012.
He's really an incredible person that after that surgery, totally unprovoked, said, "Doc, if I can have a penile transplant, I'm your patient." And it was really amazing.
So what does this surgery mean for the future of transplants? For more, we're joined now by the editor of WBUR's Common Health blog, Carrie Goldberg, who was at this morning's announcement. Hi there, Carrie.
Hey, Meghna.
So first of all, explain to us the significance of this transplant.
Well, you know, in one sense, this transplant is just the latest in a series of very impressive futuristic transplants that we've been seeing over the last few years, right? They're doing faces. They're doing hands. There's this amazing microsurgery that reconnects blood vessels and nerves. This one, though, I think has special significance because of the many hundreds of veterans who are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan with genital injuries. And so it offers particular hope for them.
Now, Thomas Manning, the patient who underwent this particular transplant, we should have mentioned a little earlier that he was in need of it because he had penile cancer and part of his penis had been surgically removed due to the cancer.
Right. He was not injured in war. He had kind of a crazy story. He was speaking to me this morning and he said that back in 2012, he was on a ramp. There was black ice on it. He was pushing a heavy cart and he went flying and the heavy cart landed on him. So he was very injured in the groin area, and as they were treating him, they turned up this very aggressive penile cancer. So he basically had most of his penis amputated. And then when the possibility of this operation arose, he really volunteered for it. And he was very clear when I asked him what his motivation was to get this transplant.
"Because they cut off my penis. Very simple."
Very simple. I appreciate sort of the forthrightness which he's talking about it, because, of course, let's just get this out of the way. This is the idea of the surgery might make a lot of people uncomfortable.
Right. But also, why do we have this stupid taboo about anything that has to do with anything related to sex at all? He says he just wants to deal with it head on.
"I knew the moment that this subject came up, anything that have to do with sex organs, you're talking about sex. And everybody goes into the closet and hides behind a rock or a hard place. And no one wants to deal with it. And I just, you know, I'm not going to walk around feeling ashamed or anything for nothing. You know, it's one, sometimes bad things in your life happen and you can go run and hide or you can face them."
I appreciate his forthrightness on this, because obviously the surgery in and of itself, the fact that it was successful, at least for now, indicates a major advance for medicine as well. But Carrie, I mean, about this awkwardness issue, what about the family of the organ donor? This must bring up, I don't know, a whole host of emotions for them.
Yeah, so we haven't heard directly from the family, but there was a representative from the New England Organ Bank who was at the news conference this morning at Mass General. She said the donor family wanted to share the fact that this has actually been a very uplifting experience for their family. The donor saved several, or gave organs to several people, actually. And this has actually helped them get through a difficult time.
Well, we're speaking with Carrie Goldberg, who's editor of WBR's Common Health blog, about a major advance in transplant medicine announced at MGH today. And so let's turn now to Dr. Curtis Citrullo. He's joining us from MGH. He's a plastic and reconstructive surgeon there. And he led the surgical team for Thomas Manning's penis transplant. Dr. Citrullo, welcome to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for joining us. First of all, let me ask you, what are the particular medical and surgical challenges associated with this kind of transplant?
So medically, we just need to determine, make sure he was cancer-free, which we did. And surgically, it's a complex operation, not unlike a hand or a face transplant, but with some unique challenges with the anatomy in that region is actually pretty complex in the pelvic area. And so we went through a number of rehearsals and made sure we understand the nuances and had some plan A and plan B surgically to make sure that we could get a successful transplant.
Now, when you say the unique challenges, are we talking nerve endings, vasculature. I mean, there's a lot of important connective tissue here that I'm sure has to be very delicately dealt with in a transplant like this.
Sure. It was really the vasculature can vary in size, and we had an image of what the recipient, Mr. Manning's vessels looked like, but it's really just a guesstimate until we get in and we're looking directly under those vessels under a microscope. We can see whether it's really a reliable caliber of vessel to be able to reconnect. So we did that, and and a couple of them were very small. We decided to sort of go to plan B and bypass one of them with a larger vessel. So we used a vein graft for that, and that helped give us a little more confidence in the long-term success of the anastomosis, as we call it, when we connect two vessels together.
And what are the risks of this kind of surgery?
Well, beyond the risk of these blood vessels clotting off and the transplant surgery itself not being a success, there are risks of long-term rejection of the organ, and that's really sort of where we're at now. We're pretty confident that the first stage of the journey is passed successfully, and we're now focused on keeping the patient well immunosuppressed so he doesn't reject the organ that he's been given by his own natural immune system that recognizes this as something that's not his.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In other words, an allograft.
Well, speaking of risks, so let's hear a little bit more from Thomas Manning himself about why he did want to take the chance on this surgery.
What do I got to lose? I'm 64 years old. My life is pretty much gone. It's over. So I look at it and said, hey, I'll take the shot. You can't, what am I supposed to ask some young kid, that young kid who's got another 40, 50 years to go to take it?
Mm. Well, speaking of those young kids, Carrie spoke a little bit earlier about the fact that this surgery might actually become of benefit to a lot of veterans who have torso and lower body injuries from, say, all the IEDs in Iraq and Afghanistan. Is that a possibility?
Well, it's an excellent question. I mean, we were actually inspired to start this program by one of our fellows, Glenn Beresford, who'd served and is a urology and transplant fellow with my co-founder of the program, Dr. Dick and Co. here at MGH. And Glenn had just come back from Walter Reed and was actually an experienced surgeon, had been through a lot, and even seen as much as he thought he would ever see until he got to Walter Reed and saw the extent of the devastating genitourinary injuries that these wounded warriors were coming home with, more than they could even care for. And there were really no great solutions for them. These patients were remarkably despondent, as you might imagine, and many were considering taking their own lives, and unfortunately many did. There was a very high suicide rate among this patient population. It's something that they suffer with in silence, and it's uncomfortable for them to even speak about it with their own spouse at times, which is just it was a really emotionally devastating thing for an experienced and grizzled veteran surgeon. So he was he and Dr. Koh were one of the first people to bring this to our attention, and we had just sort of come off our experience with our hand transplant, which is where most of the protocols were derived from.
Right.
And so we had some experience in vascularized composite allotransplantation as well as in our research effort, where we're looking to get rid of immunosuppression. So that's sort of how it came together, and the wounded warriors were at the central focus of establishing the program. And now we feel that we can hopefully do it get it to them soon.
Great. And Dr. Citrullo, one thing that you did not do was reconnect the reproductive capacity here with Mr. Manning. And you mentioned this morning there were ethical questions there. Or what? Why not do that?
Well, in his case, the reproductive organs were spared from the cancer, and that's really another step in as far as the ethical continuum goes, because you're basically, if you're transplanting reproductive organs, we've certainly heard about this recently, and it's something that's along again this continuum of vascularized composite allotransplantation. But our main goals for this were three: one, to establish a normal appearing external genitalia; two, to restore urinary function; and three, to restore sexual function if possible. So the fourth, restoration of a reproductive function, was not in the scope of what we're trying to do here. But for someone who had damage to extensive damage to the pelvis and damage those reproductive organs, that would certainly be another question, as it would be really a surrogate donor if we transplanted testes, vas deferens, things like that.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Curtis Citrullo is a plastic and reconstructive surgeon at MGH, where he led the surgical team for Thomas Manning's penis transplant. Dr. Citrullo, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having us.
And Carrie Goldberg, editor of WBUR's Common Health blog, thank you as always.
You're welcome.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll be right back. This is Radio Boston.